Welcome to the Control System Solutions Forum, where we discuss innovations in manufacturing technologies. The Control System Solutions Forum is sponsored by the Control System Integrators Association, helping system integrators become better business people. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Youngblood and Bob Lowe.
Welcome back to the Control System Solutions Forum, where we discuss innovations in manufacturing technologies. I'm your host, Todd Youngblood. And with me, as always, my partner, pal, and co-host, also the executive director of the Control Systems Integrators Association, Mr. Bob Lowe. Bob, did you survive Hurricane Irene last week?
Yes. Being located in central PA, we were on the edge of the storm, so Irene was kind to us. However, if you were closer to the Atlantic, I don't think you would say Irene was a very kind hurricane. So, no, we did well. We got some rain and some wind, but it was not substantial. So, no, we did okay.
Irene is obviously afraid of the CSIA and just wouldn't touch you.
I'd like to think you're right, but I think I know better.
What you been doing for the association recently?
We're up to a lot of good things, several focuses. One of them is growth, both domestic and international. International growth led me to Mexico last week. I was in Mexico City for an ISA event. That's International Society of Automation. They sponsored us. We have a very growing relationship with that organization. And also was at a Rockwell event, a training event, and had an opportunity at both of those to have a booth and also do a presentation about CSIA, of course, in an attempt to get many of the Mexican integrators to join. And also, we're always looking at adding value for our members and also increasing awareness amongst the clients of control system integrators so that they know more about what our members can do for them. So anyway, that's enough about me. I'd like to introduce a really exciting guest that we have here today. We have Brent Stromwall. He's the Vice President of Business Development at Polytron, one of our members located in Duluth, Georgia.
Well, welcome, Brent. We're really delighted to have you with us.
Well, thanks both of you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Great. I mean, it's good to have a fellow Georgian on the line for once. That doesn't happen all the time for me. So.
Although neither of us are speaking with Georgian accents, are we, Todd?
Is that? No, we're not. I don't know if Bob Lowe knows this, but we're what's known as damn Yankees down here. Which is a Yankee that a regular Yankee goes home, and our flavor moves in. But anyway, just to get us started off, Brent, could you share with us a little bit about Polytron, the kind of customers you're serving, and the value that you bring?
Sure. I appreciate that. Polytron is a system integrator. We've been a member of CSIA for several years. Our claim to fame, if you will, is that we were born and bred to deliver packaging system solutions in the food, beverage, and consumer products markets. More recently, we've extended our offerings into process automation and manufacturing intelligence solutions. And we work all over the country, and even many of our customers take us around the world to deliver solutions for them.
Now, Brent, you said manufacturing intelligence solutions. I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that.
There's a lot of buzz around industry about manufacturing execution systems, what's called the MES.
Yep.
But there's a much greater need from our clients for just understanding their business, not necessarily the MES solution per se, but just providing information to personnel up and down the hierarchy of the business in the right context that they need to make decisions and operate their business better and more efficiently.
And what kinds of information and intelligence specifically are you talking about?
It's a broad range of information. It could be start with downtime and OEE from a manufacturing system, and extend into the quality safety systems and safety violations, for example, or even over into the maintenance of equipment and operations. And the way we see it is, whether you're at the C level in an organization, a plant manager, or an operator on the floor, you all need access to certain levels of information regarding your manufacturing process, and we provide that for them.
So it sounds like you're going well beyond collecting data from equipment or controlling robots or conveyors or whatever into a lot, I guess what I would call softer information. Is that accurate? Or maybe you could give us an example of work you've done with a specific customer with the manufacturing intelligence.
Sure. As an example, we recently finished up an engagement with a manufacturer that is in the food industry. They're a global manufacturer, and their systems in their operation, like many of their peers in the industry, were all paper-based, and they had some workflows that recorded critical safety issues, downtime, quality, and other operational data that they just couldn't get a consistent behavior out of their entire operation of getting that information entered quickly, accurately, and collated and aggregated, if you will, for others within the organization to view.
Now, I have a question for you, Brent. Did you have a hard time convincing them that it was worth spending the money to do something like this, or had they kind of convinced themselves already? There was the whole ROI concept comes into it, and you know, is manufacturing intelligence, does that have a very apparent or obvious return on investment?
Well, I think for this customer and many of the customers that we've delivered these similar solutions for, they recognize the inefficiency in paper-based data collection, as well as the inaccuracy. And the other downfall is you just don't get the information in a timely fashion. So it's real difficult for them to make decisions that are, I'm going to say, data-driven decisions. And they have a need. They have a recognized need. They just don't know how to go about getting that information without spending, I'm going to say, a lot of money on new software systems and so forth.
Well, Brent, did you have the opportunity to participate with your client early in the planning stages to, you know, set an action plan to address the issues and, you know, and define the outcome, or where you were involved very early on, or did you get called in at the last minute and they said, just give us a quote, here's a request for proposal? How did that upfront work take place?
Well, we had a really good relationship with this client, and early on they mentioned this need to us, and just, as I mentioned, just didn't have an approach in going about how to get this done. And so they actually spoke to us early as this idea was just an idea for them. So we had the opportunity to actually, and this is part of our standard approach, which we think is very successful, is to write up a user requirement spec and understand their needs, talk with all the stakeholders that we're going to be using and we'll get value out of this system, and get all that down on paper and get agreement and alignment from the whole team.
How long did it take from start to finish? I'm thinking of the beginning of your sales process to actually delivering the solution itself to the client.
This was about a 6 to 8 month engagement. The reason it went so long, when we talk about the solution in more detail, it may sound like it was a simple solution, but the reason it went so long is because it touched so many aspects of their business. And we needed to ensure that every single piece of this was comprehensively addressed in the final result of the solution.
So are you implying or stating that you discovered some things along the way as you were executing them?
No, I'm not saying that we discovered a lot on the way. What we did is spend a lot of time up front during this development of the user requirements.
Okay.
Because as long as we had all of the stakeholders on board, then we knew we could be successful in whatever the ultimate solution looked like. We just needed to extract that out of the entire team and make sure that we spoke with everybody that was going to be impacted.
With involving all of those levels in the plant, that you really get good buy-in and ownership from them, which leads to cooperation throughout the entire project all the way up to its conclusion?
Absolutely. When we have all of those stakeholders on board and aligned, they're all recognizing the value that this is going to bring for them.
Okay.
And they're much more open about providing input and how it could enhance the final result, the final solution, if you will.
Sure, they've got to feel a sense of ownership because they're involved in investing their time and effort.
If we had a client listening to this recording, and it sounds like you would be saying to them, you need to cooperate and participate and be a real partner in this project, not simply say, here, Polytron, here's a project, do it for me, but they need to engage and embrace it almost as if they were the supplier too.
Absolutely. Part of our standard delivery and methodology is to ensure that the stakeholders from our clients' facilities or businesses all have input into what that solution looks like. Because if they don't, then many of them are just going to feel like this was laid on them by management or engineering or some other department within the organization, and they really aren't going to take this and make it work. And ultimately, we end up becoming the scapegoat for a system that's on the shelf.
On the one hand, it's a simple statement. On the other hand, it borders on the profound. I mean, you're getting everybody in the boat with you right up front. So everybody's a partial owner of the end solution.
Right. It's not too often I get called profound, but I appreciate the gesture, Todd. It's one of those business practices that we all talk about, but I think that we recognize within our clientele that they just aren't sure how to execute projects. They're about the business of manufacturing stuff. And so to get in and talk to them about the right methodology and approach for executing a project, they really need a lot of guidance. And when we talk this, then it seems almost intuitive, right?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Hey, Brent, we were talking earlier before we started the show, and you were talking a little bit about your continuity of performance. And that's something, I'm not sure I've ever heard that phrase from a CSIA member before. I'm curious, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, continuity of performance really is a statement of our objective. We want, once we leave an engagement, once we are finished up and get sign-off for what we delivered to the client, we want them to continue with the performance and even excel beyond what we were able to deliver. And that means not just providing a good technical solution, it also means making sure that their folks and everybody that's impacted by the solution that's got to run it day in, day out, has a real clear understanding of how to do that best. So for us, it means a real investment in our clients' personnel. And we do that through our technology transfer and training organization. We have an entire practice that's just devoted to equipping and enabling our clients' personnel to take ownership and, as we say, continue with the performance.
Yes. Do your clients find value in that? In other words, they know they're going to pay for this extra effort, for this continuity of performance. Do you have trouble convincing them that it's the right thing to do?
So we have a lot of our clientele recognize the value in this because they want their people to sustain this performance. And this is generally any engagement that we're in with our clients on is a pretty large or significant capital investment. And they recognize that their folks are the ones that are going to make this work for them long term, not us. So when we have the discussions, we're talking about long term performance, long term solutions, not just getting the project done and out the door. This needs to be a long term vision for them.
Well, as you're talking, Brent, the thing that enters my mind, I mean, I've been in the consulting and providing professional services for a long time, and quite often a service provider like yourself of engineering services gets accused of, okay, once you get your foot in the door, you never get out. And it strikes me that if you're training the customer's personnel about all aspects of the system that you've made, you're pretty much declaring up front, hey, I'm going to deliver, help you design a solution, figure out your requirements, get the thing implemented, teach your folks how to use it, and then when the time comes for me to walk away, I'll walk away because you're all set to handle it yourself. I mean, that just strikes me as a pretty compelling component of your value proposition.
Yeah, I think what's unique about that is exactly what you said. The clients recognize this as almost counterintuitive to their experience with other integrators or other engineering firms. We want to be able to leave and be deemed as a successful supplier for the solution. We don't want to be hanging around. If we're hanging around, then it's for the wrong reasons.
And I would expect, or let me ask it a different way. I mean, how often do you find yourself getting invited back in exactly because you worked yourself out of a job?
Well, more often than not, a significant amount of our business is repeat business or referral business. So that just speaks for itself that we're making a name for ourselves, that we're delivering performance, and they're able to take that performance and expand on it.
Well, I often hear integrators say that they have trouble ending projects.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say, from your perspective, that the way you start a project, you mentioned that you write a user requirement spec up front so that everyone agrees on what the outcome should look like. Is it fair to say that because you start a project well, it therefore ends well, which means the client gets what they want and you get paid?
Absolutely. The short answer is yes. When we have, in fact, part of our practice, part of the cornerstones of what we call a project delivery team is to get team alignment up front and define what success looks like for each of the stakeholders. We know if the whole team that's responsible for delivering a project understands what success looks like for each other, then we're all supporting and helping each other achieve that success because it's helpful for us as well.
Right. So I sense three phases to a project. You start it well, that's the specification section, and then you implement it well because you talked about your project management and business practices, and then you end it well, which is, of course, your continuity of performance, which is the training and transfer and so forth. Mm-hmm. They are the components of CSIA's best practices, which then leads to CSIA certification, and I believe you explained to me that you're working towards that certification.
That's right, we are.
Good luck to you. It's a long journey with a terrific ending.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we're in the process right now of we've looked at the best practices manual, and we're going through an evaluation internally of how we stand up against those best practices. And quite frankly, there's some gaps there, which is good for us to recognize and address. But outside of that, there's a lot of things that we recognize now we're doing right. We have some good things in place, some good practices in place. So in a sense, and it's almost built our confidence in our own organization, if you will. We do a lot of things really well, and I'm going to say right as compared to the CSIA best practices.
Well, I guess that's the point. Identify strengths and weaknesses, exploit the former, and fix the latter.
That's right.
Well, Brent, I hate to say it, but we're darn near out of time here. And before Bob and I let you go, I want to make sure our listeners know how to get a hold of us. Could you give us some contact info? How do we learn about Polytron and get a hold of you?
Sure. I appreciate that. Well, Polytron has a website. It's www.polytron.com. That's spelled P-O-L-Y-T-R-O-N. Or you can get in touch with us through our telephone system, which seems a little bit archaic these days, right? It's 678-328-2999 is our main line.
Outstanding. Thanks, Brent. Well, I got to tell you, Bob, this whole focus that Brent has, not just Brent, but all of Polytron on the communication among all the stakeholders and education of the stakeholders, start to finish on a project, I mean, that sort of sounds like best practice written all over to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Without a doubt. I mean, they sounds like they're doing nearly all of it well, and I have no doubt that achieving CSIA certification will be, well, I don't want to jinx him by saying a walk in the park, but close to that.
We've heard enough that even if you did say it, we wouldn't believe it.
We wouldn't. You're a prudent man.
Yeah.
Well, look, Brent, let me thank you one more time. I mean, I just really, really appreciate you taking the time and giving us the insight.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time to spend with you guys.
You're quite welcome, Brenda. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, on behalf of myself, Todd Youngblood, my co-host, Bob Lowe, and our guest today, Brent Stromwell from Polytron, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.